I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnneHall.com. You know, just absolutely speechless this morning. Absolutely speechless. Seriously, look at me. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. And I just wonder what America would be like if we operated with any type of constitutional acuity. I mean, I just sigh. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sigh. I open up the internet this morning, and I see that we are going to have a rally in Washington, D.C. today. A rally in Washington, D.C. today. Another rally. When are we going to learn that doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is the very definition of insanity? When has a rally changed anything? Not only that, we're going to have a rally and invite the very people who have consistently voted against the Constitution to come and defend the Constitution. And I'm just going to simply jump out there and tell you, my representative, Ted Yoho, is going to speak at that rally. And my representative, Ted Yoho, has voted against the Constitution in favor of the establishment at moments when it really, really counted. I think the only person that I see speaking at this rally who has any amount of credibility is Louis Gohmert. That's it. Senator Ted Cruz is going to be speaking, but I'll remind you that Ted Cruz was in favor of TPP and TPA until he wasn't. Now, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was in favor of TPP and TPA until he got educated on it. But I didn't see any really bold, hey guys, you know, I was in favor of this thing. I got educated. I want to admit that I was wrong. It was a very quiet transition of who knows why he voted against it once he was in favor of it. See, this is the problem with politicians. If you had the wrong position, step up and say so. I'm looking at these things, right? This Breitbart article just makes me crazy. Here we go. We have Ted Cruz, Liberty score 96. I don't know what in the world that means. Who does this Liberty score? Let me open this little link up and see what goes on. Representative Mo Brooks, an 80% Liberty score. We have Jim Bridenstine, 96. Louis Gohmert, 94. Trent Franks, 88. Steve King is going to vote. Steve King is going to speak at this rally. Really? Steve King is a representative of liberty? Even by their little liberty score, he only scores 77%. Mike Pompeo, 78%. Marsha Blackburn, for Pete's sakes, we're going to throw her into the liberty mix, 70%. What are these things? Ted Yoho, 70%. Oh, you know what that means? I support the Constitution 70% of the time. Is that who we are today? Is that how we hold our rallies to oppose big government? We invite people to come and speak at rallies that vote in favor of the Constitution 70% of the time? What in the world are they doing the other 30% of the time? And why should they be our heroes? Do you know what? I have been saying this forever. This is absolutely proof that America is suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. Suffering from Stockholm Syndrome. Because we're inviting the very people who are destroying our Constitution to come and encourage us to defend it. I don't understand this. What in the world is going on? Who's going to speak at this? If you're going to have a real... Okay, so first off, let me put it this way. We shouldn't be having rallies anymore. Rallies are for troops. Rallies are to educate and encourage you and me. Do we need to be educated and encouraged on the Iran deal? I don't need to be educated on the Iran deal. I don't think anybody who is a liberty-loving patriot needs to be educated on the Iran deal. I mean, seriously, even if you don't know what it says and the extent of its unconstitutionality, I don't think any real conservative American needs to be educated on an Iran deal. Here's the definition of a rally in the dictionary. A rally of troops come together again in order to continue fighting after a defeat or dispersion. Recover or cause to recover in health, spirits are poise. Is that what we need? Do we need to come together after a defeat? Do we need to come together and show our support to recover our health? No. We don't need rallies, okay? We need to abandon this whole idea of rallies. It has never worked in the past. It's not going to work now, especially when we keep inviting these people to speak to us who have these horrible records for the Constitution. We need to start having protests. A protest, a statement or action expressing disapproval or objection to something. An expression, what someone who says against what someone who has said or done. To declare firmly and emphatically in the face of stated or implied doubt or in response to an accusation. We need something in your face. Do you know what the difference between a rally and a protest is? Just one simple element. Shame. A protest is an anti thing. A rally is a pro thing. Are you getting the gist here? We show up in favor of things when we rally. We show up in favor of our disapproval to the Iran deal. We need to show up against the Iran deal. We need to start having protests. And protests have an essential element that rallies do not. Shame. The problem is when you have a protest, you cannot invite people like Marsha Blackburn and Ted Yoho and Mike Pompeo and Steve King to speak to you. You cannot invite anybody who has voted against the Constitution to protest the government's activity on the Constitution. And here's the deal. We're going to have this rally, and we hope that Congress, especially the senators who have come out in favor of the deal, will put American security above party loyalty. You know what? I'm hoping that we can start having protests and shaming these people into putting the Constitution first. How here's the big litmus test, right? So they're supposed to be starting. I hate to be such a naysayer, you know, but I mean, I don't know much. I'm sick and tired of this. Chris Ann is against this, and we're trying to do something. You know what? No, you're not. No, you're not. Well, at least we're out doing something. Do you know what this does? This gives a false sense of activity. Oh, well, we held our rally and they ignored us. And since we held our rally and they ignored us, what are we going to do? I mean, we did all we could. We showed up in Congress and we had a rally. And by golly, we worked really hard at having these rallies. And we shouted and we held our signs and we went, yay, Ted Yoho. We went, yay, Marsha Blackburn. We went, yay, Mo Brooks. And did nothing at all. Because showing up in Washington, D.C. is not like showing up in their offices. So we should be occupying their offices. See, this rally might actually do something if these thousands of people then go march on the House and go sit in the House. I wonder if anybody would have the absolute nerve to stand up in that rally and say, you know what? This rally is absolutely worthless. Absolutely worthless. Do you want to do something about this? Do you really want to change hearts and minds and souls? Do you really want to fix something? Then guess what? You have to come with me right now. I mean, everybody, drop your Cokes, drop your cotton candy. Let's pick up our signs. We're going right now to the House. We're going to go march, all thousand of us going to march through the hallways. We're going to make a scene. We're going to make a public scene in the House of Representatives, and we're going to make these people ashamed. We're going to march in the Senate, and we're going to make these people ashamed right now. Everybody leave. Come with me. Follow me. Stand for the Constitution. Let's go. Let's fight. Let's do this. How many of them are actually going to do that? I'm waiting. It'll be interesting to see.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So, we're going to have another rally. We're going to get together and we're going to talk about things and encourage ourselves in a position that, you know, we already hold and say, woohoo, we're so smart and we're so great, and we're going to have this rally to prove how smart and how great we are. And you know what the danger of this rally is? The media took a rally in D.C. that happened in 2010 where, you know, over a million people showed up and said nobody was there. And then we took another rally in 2012 where there were over 3 million people there and the media said nobody was there. And what happens if this rally, which was thrown together at the last minute and in the middle of the week, people are working, nobody's going to be able to go, and everybody who's going to go are the people who actually still live there, or live, you know, in the area and have the day off work and that sort of thing. What happens if nobody shows up? We have a few hundred people, a few thousand people. And then we've held a rally to show our overwhelming disapproval for the Iran deal, which peters and flusters out. I hope this doesn't fail in numbers. I will be praying for massive numbers of people. But see, the real problem here is I don't think that the American people are educated enough on the Iran deal to actually show up and protest. I don't think that we've done a good enough job educating on why the Iran deal is bad. And I wonder how many people are actually going to speak at this Iran deal rally, and talk about the real unconstitutionality of it. I mean, are we really going to discuss why the Iran deal is bad? Because there are people who like the Iran deal. I have met conservatives who like the Iran deal. And so I think the problem is that, you know, who is this? Are we against this Iran deal because it's Barack Obama? Is that why we're against this Iran deal? Because it's a party thing and we have to be against something that Barack Obama does? Is that why we're against the Iran deal? Because I'm looking at this other article. I didn't even get off Breitbart this morning before my blood pressure went through the roof, so I don't even know what's going on in the rest of the world. I'm looking at this article, and Louis Gohmert is furious that the House leadership is considering a hold a vote on a resolution of disapproval of Barack Obama's nuclear arms deal with Islamic Republic of Iran under the terms of the Iran deal on September 11th. So he's outraged that we're holding... I just have to repeat this so we understand this. Louis Gohmert is outraged that we are holding a disapproval vote on Obama's Iran deal on September 11th. Is that sinking in? He's not upset that the House is having a vote on a treaty. He's not upset that this treaty is not a treaty, it's a deal. He's not upset that it's a disapproval vote rather than a two-thirds Senate approval in order for it to be a ratified treaty. He's upset that we're voting on this thing September 11th. See, I'm just wondering, why are we upset about the Iran deal? If our biggest objection against the Iran deal is the fact that we're voting on it on September 11th. See, we're not educated enough on this to actually be upset about it. And I don't think that the American people know enough to actually rally against this. We don't rally against things, by the way. We rally for them. We protest against things. And this is... But see, we're too politically correct to have protests these days, aren't we? Do you know our framers had mock hangings in their day? They had mock funeral processions. They walked through the streets with coffins and effigies of their politicians on the side to shame these people into realizing that what they were doing was wrong. And even if they wouldn't recognize what they were doing was wrong, realizing that the people were serious about their protest. We're not serious about anything. We're upset that we're voting for the Iran deal on September 11th.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So here's the deal. How many of the speakers today in Washington, D.C. are going to talk about the real problems with the Iran deal? Are they going to talk about the treaties? Are they going to talk about the manner in which we make treaties? Is anybody going to just sit down and explain Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the Constitution? The president, right, shall have power Bayan, with the advice and consent of the Senate, to make treaties provided 2/3 of the senators present concur. Okay? So, whether you like this Iran deal or not, it cannot be supported. If George W. Bush was putting forward this Iran deal, it could not be supported. If Ted Cruz was putting forward this Iran deal, it could not be supported. Because this Iran deal is absolutely, completely, totally, to its lowest dot and tittle, unconstitutional. It's illegal. It is absolutely illegal. And the only way a treaty is the supreme law of the land is if it is done in compliance to the Constitution. This isn't even, they can't even call it a treaty. At least they're not being disingenuous about that. At least they're not lying about that. It's not a treaty, it's a deal. But you know what it is? It is an executive order. It is a, what am I trying to say here? This is an international executive order. That's it. That's what we have. And we're protesting that it's being voted on September 11th. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We're having a rally. And we're angry. Really? I want to know if somebody at this rally is going to step up and say, you know what? The only way any deal the president makes is valid is if it complies with the Constitution, Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2. There is no power in Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 for the president to make deals. Because, you see, if the president makes deals, and the standard is that we vote against the deals, and then if we don't have enough people to vote against the deal, then the deal passes. Or, well, this is how this works, right? Because I want to remind you that Congress passed this Corker bill that says we don't follow treaty procedure anymore. The president makes a deal, then we have to vote against it. Even if we vote against it, then the president can veto it. Are you freaking kidding me? Do you realize how far removed that is from the Constitution? But even worse, do you realize how identical that is to the operation of a king? And Congress has voted this? They can't do this, okay? Congress cannot vote a law that contradicts the Constitution. Can we really, really wrap our brain around that? They can vote all day long and 3 times on Sunday, but it's never valid if it's contrary to the Constitution. And we have specific treaty clauses. We can't do this. It is not valid. We can't even operate as if it's valid. I want you to see this. How many people are going to stand up and explain this at this rally? I mean, simply just say, look, we can rally all day long. But the truth of the matter is, this has no effect. This is an illegal contract. Illegal contracts have no legal effect. So let them vote for the Iran deal. And you know what needs to happen? Every governor in every state needs to write a letter to Iran and the United Nations and say, I'm sorry, our central government has lost its freaking mind and is operating outside its job description. And I'm really, really sorry to explain this to you. We're very humbly apologizing for what our central government is doing outside of its power. It doesn't have the power to make this contract with you. And so we're just informing you that this contract is illegal. And there is no state in the union that's going to honor this contract. and we are not going to make the people honor this contract. So we just want you to know right now that this contract is illegal, and this contract is not valid, and therefore you won't be getting any equipment from us. You won't be getting any funding from us. You're not going to be getting anything from us, okay? You're not getting a single dime from us because this is an illegal contract. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. James Madison tells us in Federalist Paper 75, the power of making treaties is plainly neither the one nor the other. It relates neither to the execution of the subsisting laws nor the enaction of new ones, and still less to an exertion of the common strength. Its objects are contracts with foreign nations, which have the force of law, but derive it from the obligations of good faith. They are not rules prescribed by the sovereign to the subject, but agreements between sovereign and sovereign. So these are contracts between foreign governments. John Jay says in Federalist 64, these gentlemen would do well to reflect that a treaty is only another name for a bargain. They're contracts, but they weren't supposed to be untouchable. You see, no matter what you do, you're not bound by a contract that's illegal. Jefferson wrote in 1793, I insisted that in giving the President and Senate a power to make treaties, the Constitution meant only to authorize them to carry into effect by way of a treaty any power they may constitutionally exercise. Now, Alexander Hamilton explains to us in Federalist 78, no legislative act contrary to the Constitution can be valid. Why, that's exactly what the Supremacy Clause says. You can't do anything above the Constitution. The Constitution already says in Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2, that treaties are only valid when they are created with two-thirds consent of the Senate. And that was done as a specific check and balance so that our president wouldn't become a king and we would maintain separation of powers to avoid corruption. Our founders wanted us to know that if a treaty was in opposition to the Constitution, there were significant consequences. Look at what John Jay says in Federalist 64. If the president and Senate, because they have to work together, act corruptly, they can be punished. And if they make disadvantageous treaties, how are we to get rid of those treaties? As to corruption, the case is not supposable. He's like, look, it is impossible for us to even conceive that the whole entire Senate would act in collusion with the president and become corrupted. He says, the president must either have been very unfortunate in his intercourse with the world, or possess a heart very susceptible of such impressions. Who can think it probable that the president and two-thirds of the Senate would ever be capable of such unworthy conduct? The idea is too gross and too invidious to be entertained. But then John Jay says, well, but in such a case, in case it happens, let's simply discuss this. He says, but in such a case, if it should ever happen, the treaty so obtained from us would, like all other fraudulent contracts, be null and void by the law of nations. He's saying, look, if our government makes a treaty contrary to the Constitution, it is a fraudulent contract. It is null and void by the law of nations. And Federalist 33 says, if the federal government should overpass the just bounds of its authority and make a tyrannical use of its powers, the peoples whose creature it is must appeal to the standard they'd form and take such measures as to redress the injury to the Constitution as the as exigency and may suggest and prudence justify. He says, these treaties, this is Alexander Hamilton, your big government guy, would not be the supreme law of the land, but an usurpation of power not granted by the Constitution. I didn't get any invitation to come and speak at this rally today. That doesn't hurt my feelings at all. If someone is going to stand up there and explain why this Iran deal is unconstitutional, why it is absolutely null and void, why it is a fraudulent contract, and it's not binding on the people or America. And then give the solution, like I said, that the people must stop having rallies and start having protests. We need to go over to the House and the Senate, all 1,000 of us. Let's pray. I'm really, really sincerely praying that there's good numbers on this. Because if there are not, then, you know, that's what people look at. That's what politicians look at. If there are just a sprinkling of people up there today holding this rally, then we have actually done more damage than good. And the media will throw this out there and say, look, see, the majority of the people in America are actually in favor of the Iran deal. I mean, they held this big rally and they had all these big names. And look, they could hardly get anybody together. Yeah, see, some activity is dangerous. Even though it looks like you're doing something and you're not doing anything at all. So I'm sincerely, with all my heart, praying that there are large numbers of people here today. But I'm even more concerned that someone will have the constitutional acuity to actually stand up and speak the truth about this Iran deal. And why, even if it's passed, it's not legally binding. And that we need to start defunding Washington, D.C. so that they stop using our money to make illegal contracts.
My right to tote the weapon of my choice. Don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my tent till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
You know, I just, if we could really, really wrap our brain around the unconstitutional nature of our federal government, I'm so disappointed that Louis Gohmert is furious about these trivial things. And I'm just thinking, perhaps Louis Gohmert does not understand the Constitution either. I wonder, does Louis Gohmert understand that this deal is not a treaty? That a deal where the president makes a contract with a foreign government and the House and the Senate, okay, so in Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2, the House has no vote in this. This is not a House thing. This is a Senate thing. Just like a budget is not a Senate thing, it's a House thing. A treaty is not a House thing, it's a Senate thing. Why? Because a treaty is a contract on behalf of the states. The senators are supposed to be the representatives of the states, guarding the states from engaging in illegal contracts. It's not a House thing. It's a Senate thing. And so, well, we've lost the dynamic. I understand. We've lost the dynamic of what the House and the Senate means, and that's really part of our problem. But when the president can make a contract, and the procedure is altered, where we don't vote 2/3 in favor, that we have to vote against. And then when we vote against the president's contract, he has the authority to veto it. This is a lose-lose situation. The president becomes king because he has an overriding power. There is no authority within Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 for the president to override the Senate's failure to concur. This is, I'm simply shocked at how disturbing this really is. It's so disturbing on so many levels. Our Congress has folded up the tent, has declared our president to be king, and declared themselves to be powerless. You know, I hope somebody who is listening to this goes to the rally today and hands out flyers. Do you know I have I have an article on my website. I have an article on my website that explains all of this, all of these things that I've been teaching today. It's called, let me pull the title up here real quick. It's called UN Treaty, Sea Treaty, Gun Treaty, What Are We to Do? It explains how treaties are supposed to work. I hope somebody goes to this rally today and prints out a few copies of these and starts handing these out and explaining to people what a treaty really is, how this treaty is really supposed to work. I mean, we need to get educated in America, and I fear that our failure to be educated, our ignorance, is going to cause more damage than our apathy. Samuel Adams said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberty nor easily be subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. But to the contrary, when we become universally ignorant and debauched in our manners, we will sink underneath our own weight without the aid of foreign invaders." We are sinking, America. We are not sinking because of Iran. We are not sinking because of ISIS. We are sinking, we are drowning, and we are dissolving in our ignorance. And we have Marsha Blackburn, Ted Yoho, Lee Zeldin, Steve King leading the way. What are we going to do? It's time for real patriots to stand up and get educated and teach. This Iran deal is not legally binding on anybody, unless, of course, we act like it. Are we going to run around and allow illegal contracts to be valid, or are we going to stand up and speak the truth? Will this rally speak the truth, or will it just be an I hate Obama fest, I hate Dems fest, and we need to out rhinos? How about we really educate on constitutional truth and give the people the ground to deny the federal government when they violate the Constitution? It is not legal. It is not binding. And it's about time we start acting like it. God bless. See you tomorrow.